Hello, everyone. Welcome to Science Unscripted. It's Connor here.
And Gabe.
And we're coming to you from just a really weird point in human history. I think it's fair to say that right now. We're in the middle of a pandemic or a viral spread that I'm not sure it has any comparison. I've never experienced a point in my life where around the world, everyone I know in different places around the world has the same virus. Omicron versus Delta versus whatever. Everyone's infected with this right now, and yet life goes on. Life is kind of normal in some ways, or people are treating it as just.
Yeah, my parents at my home in Beaver Dam, Wisconsin right now, my mom has it. Her sister is visiting. She has it. Her husband has it. They're all in the household. And my dad is in that household and has just refused to test. Is that apathy or indifference? Be that as it may.
Fatalism? I've probably got it. Why even bother testing?
But we have to take this seriously. You've probably heard that Omicron is mild, that it's less severe, that the pandemic is entering the endemic phase. It's becoming more manageable. Is that truly the case?
That's
our topic today.
That's the question. Where are we and where are we headed? We're going to go to Deepti Gurdasani. Gabe, you and I have talked to her before. She's a very, very prominent epidemiologist, and she's based in London.
Yeah, well-respected in her field, obviously, but also has a huge following all over the world, in particular on Twitter.
And
people listen to what she says.
Has to block a lot of people on Twitter because of the things that she does have to say about what we should be doing at this point in the pandemic and what we're not doing. Why don't we go to her now?
Science Unscripted.
I'm Dr. Deepti Gurdasani. I'm a clinical epidemiologist and senior lecturer in machine learning at Queen Mary University of London.
So Deepti, we talked to you a few weeks back when there wasn't much data on Omicron. Now it's in, and the word around town is that it's milder. And you hear a lot of people talking about the endemic phase, the beginning of the end. We have a really prominent virologist here in Germany, right close to us, saying the same thing. Is that not evidence-based? Is there no chance for us to hope that this would be the last nasty wave that gives us, we're all infected by it, it acts like a booster for our immune system, and that this is the beginning of the end? Is that possible or not possible?
The infection is becoming milder? Is that not evidence of that happening?
So there's no linear evidence of that happening. So Alpha was more severe than the original variant. Delta was more severe than the original variant. Omicron has lower intrinsic severity than Delta, but is still more severe than the original variant. The thing is, there's no selection pressure on this virus to become less severe over time. What's selected is greater transmission, because the strains that transmit more will obviously become dominant over time. This idea of herd immunity, you know, it doesn't look like it can be reached then, because every time you have a level of immunity in a population to one particular variant, and that itself is short-lived, even if you don't have a new variant arriving. A new variant arrives that escapes that better, so you get that much further away from herd immunity. I mean, the fact is, no population so far has achieved long-term herd immunity.
And in your opinion, Deepti, if it is allowed to spread through societies, that will lead to more variants, that will make the pandemic last longer? Can we say that?
I think we can say that, because essentially a new variant is like virus being the lottery, and it keeps mutating as it transmits. And most of those mutations will make no difference to the virus, but now and then there will be mutations that emerge that help it in some way, either help it escape immunity or help it transmit more. And that's what's going to be selected over time. And if you give the virus, if you sell it millions of lottery tickets, which is what we're doing now, it has much more chance of winning the lottery than if, you know, it buys a few tickets.
Now, the only reason I was asking that was that it's from a layman's perspective, endemic to me kind of means that it becomes manageable. I mean, obviously R is nowhere near one in terms of spread. Omicron is not even close to endemic. That would be a hilarious comparison. Hilariously wrong, but it seems to me to be becoming more manageable if it's becoming a COVID cold, or am I just,
if it stays that
am
way.
I just way, way off the mark there too?
Well, it depends on what you're looking at. I mean, for example, so let me tell you the situation in the UK right now. We have military support for healthcare services because healthcare services aren't able to function. Routine care has been pushed back for so long that most people cannot get routine care for, you know, things like operations, even things like cancer has been massively delayed. We have a burnt out workforce. And we have emergency alerts in 1 in 6 trusts in England right now, you know. So, I mean, you can consider that as a functioning society. I'm not sure I do. I mean, the fact that people who have heart attacks are being told they can't get ambulances is, to me, terrifying.
You use the word burnt out regarding healthcare workers in that context, but I would argue as well that almost everyone that I talk to is burnt out. No matter where how you've experienced the pandemic, everyone's burnt out. I guess that's why my question for you is what you would actually do if you were in charge, because I know you're not just an epidemiologist, you're a mother, you're a person, you know what it feels like to go through this pandemic. And I wonder what the right measured response would be in your view for everyone.
So in my view, the first thing would be accepting that one, this is not over. And just because you want it to be over, it's not going to get over. We have to adapt to the pandemic. You know, I think it's a rather entitled and privileged way of thinking that suggests that this will disappear because we want it to. And that requires long-term changes. High-grade masks are the most underused device in this pandemic. If two people wear FFP2s and one of them is infected, your chance of being infected is less than 1 in 700. That provides much, much better protection than even vaccination. So we have vaccine passports, but yet we allow people to mingle without high-quality masks. If you use high-quality masks and ventilation, that would do a huge amount to reduce the amount of transmission. And that's what countries that did open up, like South Korea, Japan did, and started leading sort of near-normal existences, but with, you know, good, well-quality masks and a lot of focus on airborne spread, along with high vaccination and boosting. All of those are layers, and one layer doesn't mean you can discard the rest.
So that was Deepti Gordasani, an epidemiologist at the Queen Mary University in London, and a person who, when she speaks, makes me feel slow and stupid.
She knows a lot as an epidemiologist sitting at the center of the storm. Yeah. And I guess what there are a lot of things to take away from that. The biggest one for me is I think we've all kind of assumed that there would come a point in the pandemic, hopefully early on, where everything would go back to normal. You know, like the pandemic stops and you take the mask off and you go back. And I think what she's saying is we need to change our thinking. I need to change my thinking and just assume that there's a future for the next year or two or three or who knows how long where we still have to wear those FFP2 masks in certain situations and where, despite the vaccinations,
But what, I mean, sorry to cut you off, but everywhere. It seems like what she's saying, that a lot more has to be done to stop the pandemic or to make the pandemic more manageable than we're doing now. And at the point, at right now, we're wearing masks everywhere.
Well,
in Germany, at least.
Most places. Then you go, yeah, you go inside and you take it off with your friends or family. Although, again,
I got from her is that this is way more serious than pretty much everyone in my circle of friends or everyone I know around me is making it seem.
I know people who have tested positive at home, haven't registered it with the authorities because then they would have to quarantine longer. It's not being treated the same way as it was before, and yet it is by every metric, and it's still early. It's significantly worse than it has ever been informed before, and we're just living in the middle of that.
I guess I just thought, everyone knows it's spreading. It's spreading faster than ever before, but I thought that it was becoming more manageable. And I guess
we're not there yet.
Intuitively, I thought that would be
the
natural path for a viral infection to become manageable and endemic, as everyone's saying, but apparently not.
Yeah. Deepti has spoken before, or the last time we talked to her, about this idea of hopium and copium. Hopium being the drug that, you know, happens in our brains when we're hoping things are better than they are. Copium, when we know they're not that good, but we're just finding, you know, psychological tricks to deal with it. And yeah, I guess one thing above all else here is just to buckle down again and to try to keep sticking with the things you've been doing before and to not just give up and say it's inevitable. It's not necessarily inevitable. It depends a lot on your behavior and who you spend time with and how you spend time with them. And maybe, for example, one of the drugs that's coming soon to Germany, a million doses, these anti-COVID pills that treat you after you have a COVID infection. If we had them all here today, that would help in hospitals in a big way. I'm not sure that they've arrived yet. And in a month or two, they may all be there. And that might be the difference between saving many lives. If we can delay it, things will get better. It's just, I don't know. It's just a weird time.
Yeah, well, let's keep it at that. Your monologue was better than anything that I could produce.
Thanks, Gabe.
At this point, let's just stop this.
If anyone has anything else to say, send us an email, su@dw.com, leave a comment, and we will all do our best to get back to you and to keep figuring out how to deal with this pandemic.
Science Unscripted.